Hello, good evening. Thank you for coming for this third screening of the Kidlat Tahemik survey that we are doing. I have a couple of announcements to make. As some of you may know, Kidlat Tahemik is not able to be here with us in London this week, as we were all expecting. He's here in another way. And he actually just sent a message for me to read about the film, so I'll read it to you in a couple of minutes. So due to visa issues and other problems, travel problems, he's not able to come, but we're very, very happy to have Catherine de Guille, who's a writer and artist and Kidlat Tahemik's wife, and also collaborator in many of the films and also stars in many of the films. And some of them, not all of them. And I would like to say something briefly about the print that you're going to see. We tried to source together, working together with Arsenal in Berlin, who is doing a retrospective of Kidlat. We tried to source the best existing prints of the film. And this is actually the only existing good print or decent print of Why is Yellow, that it's distributed by Cinematrix in Japan. And because of the very, very fragile state of the print, we decided to digitize and produce this DCP that you are going to see that is subtitled in Japanese. So that's the reason why this is what you see. But it's actually still a very beautiful print of the film. Let me see if I don't forget. Oh, though Kidlat is not here, but we are still doing the special event tomorrow at Birkbeck, at the Birkbeck Cinema in Gordon Square. So in the morning, we are going to screen the video diaries of Kidlat Tahemik. And in the afternoon, we're going to have a conversation, a Skype conversation with Kidlat. So it's a free event. I encourage you to come if you can. Just a quick note about Why is Yellow. So the film was shot on a 16mm Bolex camera, a hand-cranked camera, and was edited and reconfigured throughout the years from 1980 to 1994. And actually the film, the first version of the film, had a different title, which is I Am Furious Yellow, in reference to the Swedish film I Am Curious Yellow, right? And
As a reference, again, as a kind of ironic reference, yeah. Because the film has absolutely no sex scenes.
Well, and there was a first version that was premiered in Yamagata in 1989, and then the film was re-edited still several times in a new version in 93, and then this version in 94. So, but actually this film is a shift in Kidlat's career because it represents a different moment of sort of like an open-ended approach to filmmaking of an ongoing, unfinished film that could go on actually forever, and it still goes, but Yamagata sort of pushed at the time and invited Kidlat to present a finished version. So maybe you want to say a few words about the film, and then I'll just read the email that Kidlat just sent 1 minute ago. I just need to see exactly what it is. And so I'll read it to you. Thank you.
I should sit on the side so that everybody can. For him, it is so important to, you know, when we travel, like he has this huge, the biggest size rolling travel bags, and you think it's of what is inside, just installation material. And when we set out on our journey, he had this paper box, this big square paper box, and he said he would going, it doesn't have wheels and anything. And he said he's going to drag this. And I was just imagining how the trains in Europe look, you know. You can't pass with a big cardboard box, even if it has handles. So I finally convinced him to put the stuff into a very big oversized suitcase. And of course, on this journey, we were still hoping when I set out on the journey that he would make it, that he would get a one-day visa. But it just was not. Everything, every single angle was against it. So so it will be a Skype conversation tomorrow. But I brought along his basic installation material. It's like, this is the filmmaker, and this is the bamboo camera. The bamboo camera symbolizes the local story. Now, you must imagine two more figures that are the core of this little installation that is so important to him. There is on one side, behind the focus of this bamboo camera has two choices. One, imagine there's a rice, Filipino indigenous goddess, a tribal deity. She's called Inahabian, and she was a buckstrap weaver. And the wind was kind of, the gods tested her and sent very strong winds. But she clung to her buckstrap. And as you know, buckstraps are tied to trees, and she didn't let go. And that's why she was elevated to be a goddess. And today, Ifugao, they prayed to her to get the strength to make it through very difficult times. And on the other side, there is Marilyn Monroe, you know, also a goddess of the wind. The typical picture where she protects her and grabs her skirt. And so this is in Kitlataimik says these two goddesses of the wind are competing for the filmmaker, or whether man or woman, they compete for the attention. Yeah, the goddess of the wind from Ifugao stands for the tribal lore, for the local story, for the community story, for the stories that happen in daily life and are natural and are found. And and the goddess of the wind of Hollywood stands for the formula films, like violence plus sex, sex plus violence means profit. So you have S plus V equals P. Okay, that's the formula film. So this is Kitlataimik, and I couldn't bring the whole thing. So this is just a very small part. And he always puts this up so that each of you who is a filmmaker or writes a story or is an artist or is a scientist also think about what is important for today. Is it really this formula films, that commercial? Yeah, you get money, but that's about all you get. Or is there something else? Does your work have to have a message? Does it serve the greater good? Is there something behind it? So this is the symbol. The bamboo camera always shoots something that has to do with people, with the community, with something that uplifts rather than sex and violence. Violence, we have enough violence. You know, this morning was Brussels, we're all shocked. But some people think we watch too many. Our kids grow up with violence, watching it in every formula movie. So one gets used to guns and stabbing and wounding, and the healing is forgotten. So in a way, his message is like this for the last 40 years. He never changed. And he sees himself not as a filmmaker, but basically as a storyteller. And in Munich, there was a very interesting comment. Somebody said, oh, I'm so glad at least you're a storyteller and not a story seller. And so the film itself, the material is very uneven. And sometimes the sound is louder, sometimes it's softer. It was shot with a gamut of material. Over different times, the continuity is the story, and the story is connected to life, actually to life itself, as it unfolded, especially in this film. This film started with just family photos and no intention to make a film out of it, but then happened Marcos and the Yellow Revolution. Who of you knows about the Yellow Revolution? A few. So this is where a dictator was actually overthrown or thrown out by the people's wish, by people power. People assembled in the street and didn't go away, and the military didn't shoot into them. And some people say the helicopters were flying over the people, and they were assembled at a certain street where the people themselves formed a cross. It looked from the air, and they have shots, aerial shots from that, like a cross. And they said this stirred in the people, in the soldiers. They just couldn't shoot. They didn't want to shoot. They felt it went against their ethics, against their spirituality. So when this happened, Kitlataimik, the filmmaker, suddenly decided, I'll also shoot. I bring my kids to the rally, so I also shoot what happens in the street. And out of this material started slowly to unfold this, why is yellow at the middle of the rainbow, because the film tells what happens afterwards, and you will see all of that. And just one last characterization or anecdote of Gitlat Tayyip Igna. This film was, in one of its early versions, shown in Japan, and part of his performance, because so he puts up installation, but he also likes to perform. And at that particular moment, he wanted to show people that film is just another illusion, you know? It's just a film. So he went, got the reel from the back, because it was 16 millimeter reels. So he got that and put it on stage and got a scissor and snipped out about maybe a few inches of his film, and then spliced it on stage together and gave it again back to just say films are always work in progress, and it's not that this is a super work and it cannot be touched anymore, no. And if you really think there are many even visual artists who continue on their paintings or scratch it out or paint it over. So, but with film, we usually think it's so sacred, the final work. So Gitlat Tayyip Igna stands for anything that's ephemeral, that's fleeting, that's continuing, and that is connecting. That's his background as Filipino. It's a very, a culture that connects, an including culture. If you know Filipinos, they always draw you in. And for him, life, he draws life in, life draws him in, and out of this process, he makes his films. So this is the yellow film, Why is Yellow at the Center of the Rainbow?
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you. So I'll just very quickly, I'll read you the email that I just received from Kidlat. And he says, my film was catalyzed by the anti-Marcos protest, but after the dictator left the presidential palace, democracy didn't come automatically. So I spent another 7 years to try to find an ending or to find some answers. In the end, it's not a question of who is sitting in the palace, because it's deeply a cultural problem. So it is hard to get ourselves together as a nation, as a country. We have to recognize and stop denying the colonial influences on our culture after 450 years of foreign domination plus 100 years of Hollywood. Okay. So, very good screening. Okay.